Today's scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Wonderful. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to gather, the opportunity to worship. Lord, we thank you for all of the gifts that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for joy and peace. Thank you for hope. Thank you for light. We thank you for comfort. So, Lord, wherever we come into this space this morning, we ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would impress upon our hearts how generous of a God you are. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, here we are. It's the week before Christmas, and all around my house, there's stuff that needs to get done, gifts still to be sought out. Our house and our tree have been decked out with care and all measures taken so that the floor under our tree isn't bare. We've cleaned out the storeroom, or the playroom at least, to make room for new toys that will arrive like a feast. Me in my new coat and my wife in new shoes, while the additions from just last month sit slightly used. I look around my house at all of our nice things, though a clutter, and I realize how often these blessings make me mutter, "Wow, we have a lot, but might as well add some more." So it's back to Amazon or maybe even the actual store. I'm thankful for how much I have, but there's so much I know that's simply just excess or an upper middle class show. I have what I need, and yet so often I appear to be acting out of scarcity, anxiety, or fear of not getting or not having what I need for each day, of the odds not being in my favor or getting my way. See, we take and we hoard, we store and we save, and when a possession is threatened, we rant and we rave. Too often we're scared that the resources are scant. So we hold our things tight and believe that we can't give them away or share with a friend, because what if we don't have enough right up till the very end? What even is enough? Our standards are so skewed. It's always just a little bit more, or at least what I'm due. We've followed the first humans, Adam and Eve, in thinking that maybe God's holding out on me. As I reflect on the topic of generosity, I think this is the fundamental hang-up that I have, and maybe you too. maybe God's holding out on me. The fear is innate, and it's built into us as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. You see, from the opening pages of the Bible, we see how God takes time to create the universe. He then creates the earth, and on this little ball of rock and water, he fashions a garden that is overflowing with plants and animals and goodness. He then gives this paradise to humanity, to Adam and Eve. What a tremendous gift. Everything they need in abundance. Food, water, peace, work, companionship, all of it wrapped up into the gift of a beautiful garden, all given by a good and generous God. But as they are tempted, they then begin to doubt God's goodness. They begin to doubt God's provision. They begin to doubt that God could be trusted, again, that God is maybe holding out of them, and so they take matters into their own hands. Tragically, we see this sinful pattern repeated throughout the Bible. Right? Again, God blesses Abraham and promises that he would have abundant descendants. But then the people of Israel, even though they are blessed to be a blessing, even though they're called to trust God's generosity and provision and show the world around them how generous of a God Yahweh is, time after time, they forget God. They betray his generosity. Even when he brings them out of Egypt and then gives them the promised land, a land overflowing with milk and honey, a land of abundance, they quickly forget the generous giver. And war and strife break out, leading to Israel's self-destruction. Because that's what happens with a scarcity mindset. Before the last couple years, I don't think I realized how close below the surface this scarcity mindset operates in my own life and probably 99% of all of us. All you have to say is toilet paper shortage. And people go crazy. We saw the masses rush the stores and clear the shelves like locusts. It might have started as toilet paper, but then quickly, if anything else seemed like it might be scarce, it got snatched up too. The point is, in Douglas County, we operate 99% of the time out of the comfort of our abundance. And then when there's the slightest sign of scarcity, we grab tight like we've never had enough. Again, I think it's this knee-jerk, innate reaction that's inside of all of us, a result of the fall, a result of sin, and it's seen, again, throughout the Old Testament, and it's been grooved into humanity over the course of history. Battles and wars over lands and resources. One people group steals from another, killing it or enslaving them in the process. And so you would think, or at least I think, that the Creator God would see this type of destruction and say, that's enough. That's enough. You would think that this generous God who gave the garden, who gave the promised land, only to be betrayed and forgotten, would at some point start drawing back his generosity. What we see, though, is that it's quite the opposite. God doesn't withdraw his generosity to his people. Instead, he gives another gift. And this time, he gives himself. He gives himself. The whole theme of generosity, the whole theme of the generosity of God in the Bible can be summed up in a Bible verse that we probably all know. John 3:16, that says, God loved the world so much that what? That he gave. That he gave. Generosity was, it wasn't one of the characteristics that we talked about this last fall in our Knowing God series, but generosity is a fundamental attribute of who God is. The God we worship is a generous God. He's a giving God. And even more than that, he's a self-giving God. He gives of himself. He does not recoil or retaliate when his people turn and forget him. Instead, he entered into our spoiled mess and became a baby giving his greatest gift of himself. And through Jesus, God gives us more gifts. So let's take a look at a couple of these gifts that are mentioned in Scripture. Jesus gives us peace. Jesus gives us grace and truth. Through Jesus, God gives us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Jesus gives us comfort and hope through grace. Through Jesus, God generously gives us grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you've been saved, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Maybe you need to just sit with these verses. We'll leave that up on the screen for a second. Maybe you're coming in to this morning, this season, feeling depleted of these things. Like these things are not existent in your life. Too often, again, we turn to so many other things to try and feel this, to try and feel peace, or to try and feel comfort, to try and achieve hope. And they're fleeting. God gives generously to those who seek Him for these things. They are all generously given through Christ. Doug mentioned last week that I just finished my third and final Greek class at the seminary, 9 credits, countless hours of study and memorization and class time, all valued at the incredible price of worthless, per Doug. So I will not bore you. I will not bore you with any Greek this morning. Totally kidding. Obviously, you, Pepsi, the congregation that has so generously blessed me, you pay my salary, you have blessed and been able to sponsor me to go to school and to learn. How could I not generously share with you the gifts and the knowledge that I have learned over the last 18 months, right? Okay, so follow me real quick. Quick word study. Here we go. Ephesians 2:8. We're saved not by our own works, but by grace. And that grace is a gift from God. This word gift is a Greek word, doron. And it's the same word, let's follow this string over here, follow the same word that was used when the wise men offer gifts to Jesus. They come, they bow down and worship Jesus. They open their treasures and offer doron to Jesus. The word, though, for their treasures is this other cool word, thesauros. Thesauros. And that same word we see in 2 Corinthians 4:7, where Paul says, we have this thesauros in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power is from God and not from ourselves. What is this treasure, this thesauros that Paul is referring to in verse 7 is preceding in verse 6 that says, God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. When we first see God creating the world, what is the first thing that God gives? Whoops, let's start over here so I don't burn myself. Light. He gives light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let there be light. And he gives light. When John opens his gospel, he says that Jesus is the light of man. And Paul here says that God shines the light into our hearts so that we can know Jesus. The doron of God is the light of Christ that he generously gives to us, which guides us to the thesauros, the treasure that is knowing God. Now, that may seem impressive. Please don't be impressed. That's not really that much awesome Greek scholarship. That's just a very simple word study that probably anybody could do. You can go to a website, Blue Letter Bible. It's all there. So, maybe Doug's right. Maybe it's pointless. Just kidding. But when we get to Ephesians chapter 4 that I get to preach on in February, I'm really excited about that to share a little bit more in depth with you guys on that. Here's my point in the tangent. There is a point. The wise men, they bring their treasure, and from it, they offer their gifts. God gives us Jesus as a gift, and knowing Jesus is our treasure. Note also how many times in these verses it tells us that God's generosity is not because of anything that we have done. We've not earned God's generosity. God gives grace, the grace of Jesus, Jesus as grace, Jesus as a gift. He gives it generously. He gives it freely, not because of anything that we have earned. And in knowing Him and knowing Jesus, we find our ultimate treasure. So God generously gives of Himself in sending the gift of His Son, Jesus. Through Jesus, we're generously given grace on grace on grace. What else does God generously give? If we turn to one of my favorite books of the Bible, the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 5 says that if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, because God gives generously to all without finding fault. God generously gives us wisdom. If you want to know God, if you want to know Jesus, if you feel like you lack wisdom and knowledge about the Bible or about God, all you have to do is ask. He is eager to give generously. I could go on and on all morning about the gifts of God, the gifts that come through Jesus, because that's just how generous of a God we serve. There's one other thing I want to highlight that Doug touched on briefly, is that God generously gives us the Holy Spirit. God generously gives us the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, He gives us spiritual gifts to those of us who know Jesus, who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not given tentatively, sparingly, like a little sprinkle. No, the Bible says that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to be filled and then filled to overflowing, sharing and giving of our gifts and of our talents. And so if you're a follower of Jesus and you don't know what sort of spiritual gifts, how God has gifted you, how God has wired you for the service of His kingdom, I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider taking a spiritual gifts inventory. There are plenty of ways to do that online. Talk to somebody, ask for sort of confirmation, affirmation, how has God gifted me? And then consider, as Doug mentioned, how can I then use my gifts and my talents to serve Pepsi, to serve Parker, to serve the world for God's kingdom building purposes. See, the gifts of God, the gifts that God has given us are too important to be undiscerned and unused. So we've seen that God generously gives His Son. He generously gives grace, wisdom, love, gifts of the Spirit. See, friends, if we believe in God and if we believe that God is a generous God, then we are also to be a generous people. People who love Jesus are generous because they have the heart of God, and God is generous. And so, again, maybe when you're sitting in church and you hear the word generosity, we're going to be speaking on generosity, probably if you're like me, the first thing you think of is, oh, great, a year-end giving ask, or a stewardship teaching on how to tithe, or just, who needs my money? And generally, that's where our brain goes first. When we think about generosity, generally we think about money, financial generosity, which is definitely a part of the conversation. And we say it every week, but I want to highlight it again. Pepsi, you are generous givers. When there is a need, Pepsi responds with generous financial giving. What a blessing it was to walk with you all over the last 18 months, 2 years, even before that, through the capital campaign, the Healing Families, Transforming Lives capital campaign. And to be able to pay off our building debt sooner than expected due to your generous response and your generous financial giving and pledges. All in God's perfect timing, because right after we finished that, we went into lockdown. Oh, but that didn't stop Pepsi, because in the first half of COVID, you guys were more generous than the months preceding. In 2020 and 2021, over 20% of Pepsi's budget goes to missions. 20%, over 20% in a lot of months, a couple of those years that more of the budget of what you guys give goes to missions. We just give it away. That's crazy generous. Per Barna, the national average is 5% that churches give to missions. Our Early Learning Center sets aside 20% of all tuition received to give to teachers, to staff, to families of the ELC that may be in need. Our Deacons Fund has received over $32,000 in donations this year, and we've been able to give away over $20,000 of that Deacons Fund. To people in our congregation, to people in our community who maybe have run up on hard times or are in need of financial assistance. Again, Pepsi, you are a very generous church when it comes to financial giving, no doubt. And so the encouragement is to carry on, to not grow weary in doing good, but to continue to give as the Lord leads. And if you are considering making year-end gifts, please do so as the Lord leads, because there is still more work to be done even in the last couple weeks of the year. If you're new with us, or if you're not a regular giver with us here at Pepsi, I want to let you know that you are in a good place to learn what it means to be generous. Talk to people around you. Talk to any of us on staff, our elders. This is a good place to learn what it means to be generous with the resources that God has given us. As I mentioned, though, financial generosity really is just one piece of the equation, one part of what it means to learn to have a generous heart like God's. God is generous in love, in grace, and in mercy, and I think those are sometimes the areas that are harder for us to be generous in love and grace and mercy. I know it's hard for us to be generous with our time. It can be hard for us to be generous with our gifts, with our serving, because those things take time. And again, I think too often we operate with this scarcity mindset when it comes to our time. My wife and I were just talking this last week about how there's a requirement and ask of the kids' school and you know our daughter's dance studio deal that you have to donate, you have to give 20 hours, 50 hours, 25 hours, whatever it is, per kid to back to the school. Or you can give maybe $25 or whatever it is instead of the hour of serving. Now, I don't know the stat line, but I would be willing to bet that it is pretty high just because I don't imagine Brittany and I are the only ones having this conversation about we can't really offer that many hours, so let's, you know, just dig into our pockets and fork over some cash. I think too often it's just easier for us to do that. It's easier for us to kind of throw some money at something than to really give sacrificially of something that might really hurt. And oftentimes what that's hurting is our calendar, our busy schedule, and these sort of things. Sometimes the only thing more full than our bank account is our calendar. And I don't want you to think that I'm pointing the finger any further than right here, because I feel this. Too often I'm living this, going 100 miles an hour. I think we went through the last 18 months, starting and stuff was shut down to then when it opened up, and we really just doubled down on catching up on lost time, on lost trips, on lost activities. And I look at where it's gotten us, and I think we're just exhausted. I think we've come to December, right? December doesn't slow down at all this time of year. I think we're all just really tired and depleted. And so the idea of serving, of giving of our time and our talents is like, what time? What energy? I've got nothing. I think we need to ask God where we've fallen prey to this scarcity mindset, the idea that I might not really have enough or that God might not really provide. So I'm going to work harder, I'm going to work more hours, or that my needs might not really be met by God, and so I'm going to try and find satisfaction through other things, through other activities. Again, I'm not saying that the activities in our work and our things are bad in and of themselves. They're not. It's really what we do with them. It's really our posture of our hands. If we're holding with tight fists and closed hands, we're really going to miss out on the generous gifts that God wants to give us, the gifts that God is calling us into. And so again, please prayerfully consider how you would be involved in sharing of your time, of your energy. We need each and every one of you. We need each and every person from first service, from second service, from all three services next year. We need each and every one of you to make up the body. We're going to circle back to this again in February of next year when we get to Ephesians chapter 4, but I thought there was a great overlap here that I wanted to touch on for the generous use of giftings. Ephesians 4, 15 through 16 says, "We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, that is, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." And so this is the way that the church grows in Christ's likeness. When each member of the body, members that are joined and unified and held together by humility and gentleness and patience and love in generous amounts, when each member is working properly, namely that they're operating out of their gifts and talents, then the body grows itself in love. It's going to be a great series next spring. I'm really excited for it. And so we can give generously, we can serve generously. Lastly, we need to show grace generously. We need to show grace generously. Maybe it's to a family member, maybe it's to a neighbor, maybe it's to a coworker, somebody that's hard to love. We need to show grace generously. I believe it breaks the heart of God if we are stingy with grace, or if we're stingy with forgiveness. Again, it's the same story as the garden or the promised land. God, this generous host, has invited us into life. He's given us abundant grace through Jesus. And too often we just take it and we run with it. We hoard it. We keep it for ourselves like it's going to run out or it's only for us. The generous, self-giving gift of Jesus is the best gift that we could receive, and we're selfish if we think we can just keep it to ourselves. If you've got the light of Christ in you, it's just like we tell the kids, right? Do you hide that light under a bushel? No. You've got to let it shine. You've got to let it shine and share the light of Christ, share the gift of Christ with those around you. See, the times that I'm not very generous in grace or patience or forgiveness, that's a pretty good sign that I have forgotten the generous host, that I've forgotten the generous gift of Jesus, that I've forgotten how Jesus, who had all the riches of heaven, and yet he became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. That's 2 Corinthians 8:9. I too quickly forget Jesus, who didn't white-knuckle his status with God, but instead he generously gave of himself. He emptied himself, taking on the very nature of a servant, and he was born like one of us. Philippians 2:6-7. Again, God has shown ultimate generosity in the gift of his son. We've all heard the quote from Jesus in Acts 20:35 that said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." But maybe for some of us this morning, we need to just start by receiving this gift. God has given us the gift of his son, Jesus, and before we could even think about going and sharing it generously with those around us, we have to genuinely, honestly receive the gift that God has given us in Jesus. And so if you haven't done that, if Jesus is not the best gift ever to you, if he's not your ultimate treasure, I pray that this Christmas that you would see the light of the knowledge of God through the gift of Jesus. Because what do we really have to offer back to Jesus but simply our heart? I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up as we finish. Because see, if we really believed that he is a generous host, we wouldn't be so preoccupied with our financial gross. Maybe, just maybe, if we trusted God for our needs, we'd find ourselves living and giving more free. In a world that knows poverty, scarcity, and fear, we know a God whose abundance draws near. In a world that takes and looks out for number one, we know a God who gave and gave his only son. What if instead of stocking up more, we gave and we gave and we gave to the poor? Not out of obligation or pity or for press, but in response to the God who entered our mess. God who had everything, all heavenly wealth, gave it all to save us. Yes, he gave himself. He gave us his son so that we might be free, free to give in return. But first we receive. And once we've received and drawn near to his heart, we find that generosity comes naturally, and we all do our part. We give of our money, yes, but of our gifts and time too. Until the world sees the generous host through me and through you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you press on our hearts this week? Help us to see. Open our eyes, open our hearts to see the generous gifts that you have lavished upon us. Beginning first and foremost with the gift of your son, Jesus. God, would we not get wrapped up in the earthly gifts? Although would you fill us in the act of giving as we give generously this week? Would you be in that as well, blessing us as we give? But God, daily, would you help us to wake up and turn our eyes to you, the author and perfecter, the giver of life, the giver of comfort, the giver of hope. God, for those that need that comfort and hope this morning, would you send your Holy Spirit generously into their hearts this morning? In your name we pray. Amen.